Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up either All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo or All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. In these two ebooks, I examine the careers and histories of seven different fictional policemen and detectives in each volume, as well as life lessons that can be learned from them. The ebooks are available wherever fine ebooks are sold, and you can get the audiobooks through audible.com. or the iTunes Store. All right, well, it's time now for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date is May the 11th, 1949, and the title is Nobody at the Door.
On such a gorgeous day.
Waiting for you to come over so we can take off for a drive in the country.
Oh, well, what are we waiting for?
Not a thing. Come on, let's...
You want me to answer it, Blackie, or should we ignore it?
I'd better take it. Otherwise, I'll be wondering all day who was calling. Hello. Hello. That's funny.
Hmm? What's the matter?
There was somebody on the phone, and when he heard my voice, he hung up.
You know what they say about when a man answers.
Oh, good night. Now there's somebody at the door.
Well, I'll take it this time. Yes? What? Blackie, there's nobody out here.
Oh, but there must be.
Well, the hall's empty. But look, here's an envelope on the floor.
Whoever rang the bell must have left it and run.
Yeah, well, let's see what it is. Come on, hurry.
Okay, Mary, now take it easy.
Okay, hurry up, okay. Well, Blackie, what's in the envelope?
Well, look for yourself.
It's empty.
First the phone rings and nobody's at the other end. The doorbell rings and the hall's empty. And now this envelope with nothing in it.
Golly.
And the fact that nothing is in it means something's going on.
Want a beer with flavor? A flavor that's delightfully, deliciously different? Try that smooth beer. Try Champagne Velvet, the beer with the million-dollar flavor.
Thank you, my friend, for a very happy suggestion. It's worth repeating. Try that smooth beer. But Champagne Velvet is more than just that. It's a beer with a rare and unusual flavor combination. It's bright and sparkling from foam to finish. It's light and lively with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. And best of all, it has the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor that stamps it as a beer of real premium quality. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Light and lively, bright and sparkling, yet just as smooth. What a flavor combination. And you're sure it's pure.
Oh, you take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll get to Scotland for you. For me.
Hey, Ginger, what are you singing for?
I always sing that song when I'm happy.
Though.
Johnny, we did that job just like Charlie wanted us to.
So?
You planted that evidence on the senator right under Boston Blackie's door. So I'm happy.
Okay, so I put the envelope under Blackie's door. So what's that to be happy about?
Hey, Johnny, you must be dumb.
What do you mean?
When Blackie gets a load of all that stuff on the senator, he'll have him put away. Then Charlie will start running this town, and I do mean run it.
Seeing that you're Charlie's number one girl, you'll probably be right there running it with him.
That's right, Johnny. Then I'll be in a better spot to put in a nice word for you.
Yeah, you know what Charlie thinks of me.
Yeah.
I'm an errand boy, that's all.
Well, maybe I could change that.
Hey, you really mean that, don't you?
Sure do, Johnny. Say, I've been hearing a lot about the senator. Was he ever a senator, really?
Are you kidding? His real name's James Martin. He's an old-time ward healer who stepped into the rackets. He was never even elected dog catcher.
Yeah, but as of now, we're electing him the state's number one jailbird.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I know. Well, that's why I was saying. You take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll get the sky.
You can tell Charlie all about it.
Oh, that's no way to talk. You want to get places in this business, don't you?
Well?
Make up to the boss. Paid off for me.
Yeah, that's different.
Come on, Johnny. I'll let you tell him the good news.
Okay.
Hiya, Charlie.
Characters came back just in time. I was losing this game of solitaire.
Oh, no, you weren't. Put that black eight on the red nine, you got a new pile.
Forget about the cards. What happened?
Go ahead, Johnny. Tell it.
It went off just like you planned.
Well, tell me the whole thing, from beginning to end.
Well, wait a minute.
Ginger and me climbed up the stairs to Blackie's floor instead of using the elevator.
Yeah, go on.
Then Ginger stood back near the exit while I sneaked up to Blackie's apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
Put the envelope under his door, rang the bell, and ran. Sir, I ran.
Yeah, that's the whole story, Charlie. Huh? Blackie never saw us.
I figured it that way. Now we're going to celebrate the new boss of this town.
Well?
Me.
Yeah, let's have a real celebration.
Not you. Just Ginger and me. Scram.
Yes?
Are you busy, Senator?
Well, it depends, Dallas. What is it?
There's a maverick outside who says he's just got to see you.
Is he one of my constituents?
Couldn't rightly call him that, Senator. It's Johnny.
Ah, one of Charlie Evans's boys.
Huh?
Well, where's your hospitality? Show him in.
Step lively, Johnny. Okay. Senator says he'll see you. Hello, Senator.
Hello, Johnny.
I'll be out here, Senator, if you need me.
It's been a long time since you've come visiting in this bailiwick.
Yeah. Last time was when I come asking you if you had an opening in your organization.
That's right, my boy. I'm sorry I didn't have one.
Well, that's all right, Senator. But I'm pretty sure you got an opening for me now.
Well, that's all.
Even if you have to make one.
You sound like you're in a bargaining position. Shall we put our cards on the table?
Sure, Senator. I got nothing to hide. Except this stack of papers.
And just what do those papers represent?
A detailed list of your illegal activities. Including murder.
That's so.
Charlie collected it, wrote it down, put it in an envelope, told me and his girlfriend Ginger to put it under Boston Blackie's door.
That's very interesting. And how do those papers come into your hands?
I took them out when Ginger wasn't looking.
That's so.
She's over at Charlie's place and the two of them are celebrating a great big nothing.
I presume you read the papers.
Sure. But since I'm going to be one of your boys, you got nothing to worry about.
No, but you do.
Hey, what's the idea of that gun? No!
Well, that's that.
Hey, boss, what's all the shooting for?
I was just being obliging, Dallas.
By killing him?
Well, Johnny said he was pretty sure I had an opening for him, even if I had to make one.
Yeah?
So I made it. In him.
Now, Blackie, stop mumbling.
I can't help it, Mary. It's still bothering me. The phone, the door, the envelope.
Well, driving the country should make you forget all about it. Here's the car.
Oh, yeah. Watch your head.
Uh-huh.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe there's an explanation for all this.
Sure.
Maybe that ride in the country is what I need.
Blackie.
What, Mary?
I didn't say anything.
I must be hearing things.
Blackie.
Now, look, Mary, I just heard my name.
Blackie, I didn't say anything.
Oh, this is too much. First a phone call from nobody, then a doorbell with nobody ringing it, and then an envelope with nothing in it. Now voices. Am I going crazy?
Blackie, were you ever sane?
What the...
Inspector Farrington.
Hello, Miss Wesley. What's bothering you, genius?
What are you doing in the back seat?
I saw you two come out of the building and head for this car, so I made myself comfortable.
Well, that makes us uncomfortable. We're going for a ride in the country, and we don't need you.
Maybe not, but I need you.
Why, Inspector?
Quiet, Miss Wesley. Blackie, you said you were going for a drive. Okay, drive. But before you go, I'll take those papers you've got, which will give us a case against James Martin.
James Martin? The senator?
That's right, Blackie. Now, stop stalling. I know you have the papers.
Well,
Charlie Evans called me about a half hour ago to say that one of his boys put an envelope with all the dope on the Senate under your door.
Oh, Blackie, that envelope.
Oh, yes. Well, Faraday, I did find an envelope under the front door, but there was nothing in it.
I don't get it. Why should Charlie Evans call me with that kind of a story?
Who knows? All I can tell you is that the envelope I got was a typical Faraday envelope.
What may that be?
Looked important, but there was nothing inside.
Oh, you take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll hit it.
Ginger, we're in solid now.
Oh, it's okay with me, Charlie.
I tipped Inspector Faraday that Blackie had all the dope on the Senator.
Yeah.
I'm in the clear. Blackie'll turn it over and then the sky's the limit.
Charlie, that's the way I like to hear you talk.
I'll get it.
Okay. Oh, you take the high.
Hello. Yeah, this is Charlie Evans. Who? Oh, hello, Senator.
Senator?
No, you must be mistaken. I wouldn't do a thing like that. You what?
But Charlie, you're shaking. Well, what happened? What did the Senator want?
Johnny slipped those papers out of the envelope and turned them over to the Senator.
Dirty, no-good, double-crossing, tin-horn crook.
I even say that.
And I said I'd put in a good word for him.
Now, forget about Johnny. We got to get out of here before the senator comes calling.
The senator's coming over here?
Yeah. And he isn't coming for our vote. Start packing that small suitcase.
Well, what'll I put in?
Well, put it... Oh, forget it. We just better scram or we still can. Come on.
Oh, Charlie, I'm scared.
Ooh, so am I.
Hey, what is your rush, Charlie? What? You're going someplace? Close the door, Dallas.
Sure enough, Senator.
Hey, how'd you get here so fast?
Tell him, Dallas. We don't want them wondering, do we?
I reckon not, Senator.
No, we don't.
You see, Charlie, there's a phone booth in the lobby.
So you're the senator.
That's right.
I've seen you once at the Golden Club. That was from a distance.
Oh?
Charlie, why didn't you ever tell me the senator was so handsome?
Well, I'm afraid Charlie has been telling the wrong things to the wrong people.
Oh. Charlie never told me nothing about you.
That was his mistake.
And I've seen Dallas here at the Golden Club, and he never told me he worked for such a swell boss.
Thank you.
I go to the Golden Club all the time.
Say, Senator, we come up here to take care of something.
You're right, Dallas, and time is precious.
You said it.
So, goodbye, Charlie.
No!
he deserved it.
I'm glad you agree.
Imagine trying to pull a deal like that on a nice guy like you, Senator.
Why, my dear, this adulation is very pleasing. I wish I had more time to hear it.
Oh, Senator, why don't you take me along with you? You're my
what?
Type. We could have such a lot of fun.
Somehow, Dallas, I didn't believe a word she said.
Premium quality, yes, sir. Premium quality that is yours to enjoy at no premium in price.
Now, that's something worth remembering. But every time you pour your glass of champagne velvet, you're reminded that you're enjoying a real premium quality beer at no premium in price. You know, of course, that more costly malt and grain, higher priced hops, and more careful and costly brewing methods are all a part of CV's famous million-dollar formula. So CV has to have unmistakable premium quality. CV's flavor tells you all of that. It's bright and sparkling, light and lively from foam to finish, with the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of a real honest-to-goodness beer. Real premium quality beer. But that's not all. It has a clear, clean taste given it by controlled aging. A taste that makes you sure it's pure.
And it's smooth, 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 just as smooth.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Charlie Evans, small-time racketeer, plans to take over from James Martin, kingpin crook known to the underworld as the Senator. Charlie sends his stooge, Johnny, to Blackie's apartment with an envelope containing a detailed account of the Senator's activities, hoping that Blackie will get to work on the Senator and put him in jail. At the same time, Charlie calls Inspector Faraday and tells him that Blackie has the evidence. However, Johnny double-crosses Charlie, brings the papers from the envelope to the Senator, who kills Johnny. Then the Senator and his sidekick, Dallas, kill Charlie and Charlie's girlfriend, Ginger. As we return to our story, Inspector Faraday and Blackie, unaware that any of these murders have happened, are on their way to Charlie's...
Faraday, why'd you insist on taking your patrol car?
Well, because I want this visit of Charlie Evans to be official, Blackie.
Oh.
He said he could prove murder against the Senator. That's all I wanted to know.
I see. Okay.
And just to clear up something else that may be bothering you, genius, I was the one who called your apartment before and then hung up before you answered.
What was the idea of that?
Well, Charlie Evans had called me about sending that dope on the Senator to you. I just wanted to check with you.
Well, what made you hang up?
Well, I decided to come to see you instead.
Calling car 42.
Wait a minute, hold it.
Calling car 42.
Yes, Inspector Faraday, car 42. Go ahead.
The body of Johnny Hastings has been found in an empty lot on Schuyler Street.
Uh-oh.
Two bullets through heart.
Two bullets.
Body discovered and identified by Patrolman Sampson. That is all.
Have the coroner and the lab boys get to work on it. I'll be back at headquarters within a half hour.
Johnny Hastings?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of Charlie Evans's boys.
It was, that's right.
Let's collar Charlie and tie this thing together.
I want to surprise Charlie Evans, Blackie.
Okay, Faraday. Here's the apartment.
All right, come on, let's go.
Well, looks like Charlie has already been surprised.
Yeah. Who's the dame on the floor next to him?
It's Charlie's girlfriend, Ginger Larkin.
Oh, the dame that's always singing Loch Lomond, huh?
Well, her singing days are over.
First Johnny, Charlie's henchman, now Charlie himself and his girlfriend.
Looks that way.
Blackie, who did it?
The Senator, I imagine. And this is what must have happened.
Yeah, tell me.
Johnny delivered that envelope to me, but he removed incriminating papers and tried to swing a deal with the Senator.
Swing a deal?
The Senator killed Johnny, destroyed the papers, and then took care of these two.
That's a great theory, Blackie, but how do we find the Senator? How do we prove he did it?
That's my department. Give the press and radio the news about Charlie's murder.
Yeah.
But hold off any announcement on Ginger.
What for? I'll have the Senator in jail in 24 hours.
You will?
Yeah, you...
In 24 hours?
You're not kidding.
That'll be the day.
Blackie!
Mary, what are you doing in the car?
Well, since we weren't going driving today, I thought I'd do the next best thing and just sit in the car and wait for you.
Well, move over. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
And Evans is dead, and so is his girlfriend Ginger and his stooge Johnny.
Oh, no. Three murders? Blackie, why?
Well, the old story of gangland double cross.
Oh, who did it?
I think it was the Senator.
You think? Isn't there any evidence?
No. The Senator's boys could give him 100 phony alibis.
Mm.
I've got to find the Senator and force him to make a break.
Well, how do you do that?
I need your help, Mary.
Well, how can I help?
You're about the size of Ginger. And with a lot of makeup, I can make you look a little like her.
Oh?
Well enough, at least, to pass in the dark, anyhow.
Well, now, why should I have to look like anybody else?
Faraday is holding off the announcement of Ginger's murder.
Yeah?
Now, I'm going to make you up to look a little like her and then drop you off at the Golden Club.
Hey, that's a dive in the tough end of town.
I know, but where the Senator's boys hang out. But there's nothing to worry about, you understand?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be around someplace.
Well, I should hope so.
Oh, another thing.
Oh, great.
Ginger is known as the Loch Lomond Girl.
Yeah?
She's always singing it. So, you sing it. I want the Senator's boys to think you're Ginger and that you're alive. And if they think you're Ginger, my job will be a snap.
Hey, Frank.
Huh?
Stop polishing those glasses behind the bar and take care of a customer. What you trying to do? Make the Golden Club look classy?
Customers are all taken care of, Dollar.
I mean me. I'm waiting.
And I'm polishing.
Hey, now look, you. I'm the senator's right-hand man from now on. You got to talk to me with respect or there'll be a new bartender here at the Golden Club.
Go back to Texas. Learn how to be a cowboy. Stop riding me.
Hark and rope and brand you with no trouble at all.
How about a demonstration?
Sure. How's this for a start? Let's see what the boss has to say about this.
Go ahead, tell it, teacher. Maybe you'll keep me after school.
Blackie, I'm scared.
Relax, Mary. I've got every angle covered.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Now, remember what I told you.
Yeah, let's see. When I walk into the Golden Club, I don't say anything to anybody, but I send a request to the piano player, only I keep my face away from him.
Right.
Yeah.
Ginger and he were good friends.
Uh-huh, I get it.
Don't forget now.
Yeah.
His name is Sam.
Sam.
Faraday told me that.
Okay, well, now, I don't look at him, but I asked him to play Loch Lomond.
So far, so good.
And then I walk to one of the tables in the shadows, and I sing along with him.
Great. Uh-huh. And remember, my plan is to work.
Yeah.
Somebody has to tell the senator Ginger is still alive.
Yeah.
Then I'll get him dead to rights.
Yeah, yeah, you check that stuff in Charlie's room. What do you mean, no fingerprints?
Oh, just Charlie's and Ginger's. Oh. Okay, call me back.
Come in.
Inspector.
Yeah, well, Matthews, what is it?
You wanted that ballistics report. Here it is.
Thanks.
Inspector.
Now, hold it a second. Let me just read this.
Yes, Inspector.
Yeah. Okay, what is it?
How come Boston Blackie's been keeping out of this case?
Oh, he's in it all right. Up to his ears.
But I haven't seen him around headquarters here.
Well, you see, Matthews, it's like this.
Yes, Inspector?
Yes, Inspector. Blackie, as usual, thinks he's going to catch our killer all by himself.
Oh?
He doesn't think he'll find him here. Does that answer your question?
Oh, sorry, Inspector. I didn't mean to say the wrong thing.
Forget it. I'm just snapping at you because I realize Blackie is right again.
What do you mean?
This ballistics report.
Well, what about it?
According to this, all three people, Johnny, Ginger, and Charlie, were shot by the same gun. Which
yeah?
makes it look like one man did all three jobs. Which is what Blackie has been saying all along.
Well, does Blackie know who it is?
Doesn't Blackie always?
Hey, Ginger, where are we keeping you, sir? What do you know? She walked right by me.
Table for one lady?
Yes, against the wall.
This way. This table all right?
Fine, just fine. Oh, thanks.
What do you have?
Will you tell Sam to play me Loch Lomond?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, Sam, I got a request.
Now, that's what I'm here for. What'll it be this time?
Loch Lomond.
Loch Lomond? Is Ginger here?
Yeah, I think it's her. She's sitting at that table against the wall.
Where?
There, lighting that cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ginger, I'll play it. You sing it.
Okay. You take the high road, and I'll take the low road.
Hey, what is this?
What's the big idea banging my piano, Dallas?
You aiming for trouble, Sam?
No, just playing a request to the customers.
Yeah, you know that's Ginger's tune.
Sure, and Ginger asked for it.
You're a lying critter.
Take your hands off me. There she is at the table against the wall.
Where? Look, look.
You look like you've seen a ghost.
Don't say that. I gotta make me a phone call.
Well, you'll have to wait for that. Someone just walked into the booth. Why are you so interested in Ginger?
Hey, Sam, play that tune.
Sure, Ginger, sure.
You take the high road.
Ginger's just singing. I gotta get out of here.
Scotland.
Now, Ginger, sing it. Senator, open up.
What is the meaning of this, Doc?
Quick, let me in.
I thought I told you never to come upstairs to this office. You're to call me from the phone booth downstairs in the Golden Club.
It was somebody using the phone.
Well, you should have waited. Now, what was so urgent?
Senator, I've just seen a ghost. Her name is Ginger.
What are you saying?
Ginger just walked into the club downstairs.
Well, that's impossible. She's dead.
Yes, Senator, I saw you kill her. At least I thought you killed her.
She must be an imposter. It's a trick.
No trick, Senator. She just asked Sam to play Loch Lomond. That's her song, and she was singing it.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you check?
I will. And for your sake, Dallas, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah?
Put the piano player on.
Yes, sir. Sam.
Yeah?
For you. Oh. You're Nickel. You talk first.
Sam, this is the senator.
Oh, yes, sir.
Dallas is telling me that you've been playing a young lady's request. Who was the girl?
It's Ginger, you know, the Loch Lomond girl.
Thank you.
What did he say?
He confirmed your report.
What do we do now?
It's obvious. Apparently, I didn't kill her. So you do the job. You know, Dallas, I'd hate to think of seeing your ghost walking around someplace.
I can take a hint, Senator. I'm going.
Good.
Wrong, you're saying.
What the? Hey, you're Boston Blackie.
I'll take that gun from you.
Oh, no, you...
Takes care of Dallas.
Yes, it does.
Now, Senator, I'll take your gun.
I couldn't give you the whole gun, Blackie, but you can have a bullet.
I don't accept gifts from strangers. Oh. Now, sit down.
You've invaded my office, attacked my assistant, and forcibly taken my gun. What's the meaning of this?
I followed Dallas from the cafe, and I've been listening outside your office since Dallas came in.
You what?
That's right, Senator. You're through. I knew if you were told Ginger was alive, you'd talk. I never knew a senator who wouldn't.
Make mine CV, because for me there is no finer beer, and it's just as smooth.
Make mine CV. So many folks who know good beer when they taste it have said just that, time after time, that Champagne Velvet is not only the leading beer by far in its home state of Indiana, but it is preferred by particular people everywhere that it is sold. There's only one reason for that, and that is flavor. The bright, sparkling, light and lively flavor of a real premium quality beer. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price. The rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of real, honest-to-goodness beer. And the clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure.
So make yours CV, because for you, there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth.
And now, here is a preview of what happens next week.
Hold still,
let
somebody.
Let go of me, will you? Let go.
Still.
Hold his arms, Homer. No, tight up. That's right.
Okay, Count, I'm holding Smitty's arms. What do I do now?
You don't do anything. I do it. There.
Hey, Count, why are you hitting Smitty?
Because he's a stupid, blundering fool.
What'd you do, Smitty? Bring the Count some flowers, make him sneeze?
It has nothing to do with that. No. I sent him to see a customer. There was somebody else in the room, and he started to tell her about our stock venture. And that somebody else was Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie?
She called him Blackie. But maybe it wasn't the same guy. I never seen Boston Blackie. I've been out of town for 5 years.
Silence! There's only one Blackie. That was bad enough, but you ran away. You left that stock at your house. That was unpardonable. Unpardonable!
No, Count, no.
Step away from him, Homer.
No, don't shoot, please. Don't shoot. Don't.
He's dead, Count.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
Take care of Boston Blackie. Permanently.
Some of the Hot Rod boys are in town. There's Killer Monahan.
No.
Torpedo Thompson.
No.
You got somebody special in mind for this job?
Yes. Just a minute.
Come in, Olivia.
But of course.
But Dave, and she's going to take care of Boston Blackie?
What's the matter? Don't you think I can take care of Boston Blackie?
Welcome back. Well, I really love the setup of this episode. There was so much mystery and question as to what was going on. The payoff was a bit disappointing. I mean, everyone who was involved in the plot against the senator was, you know, dead before the halfway point. And then it was just a matter of Blackie catching up to the senator and bringing him to justice. I was really disappointed that we didn't get something more interesting after that first scene provided such a great setup. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we have some reviews from the Apple Podcast Store. First, from Canada. We have this one from, I won't even try to pronounce it. It starts NJSN. Sadly, Adam Graham's opinion of some episodes is not relevant to the times when it was used. I get his complaints. My biggest issue is his voice is so very loud. He says in all caps for emphasis. In contrast to the episode at the beginning and the ending of each podcast, this always will be my go-to first one at night. Well, thank you so much for your feedback. I guess regarding the audio issue, it's something mentioned to Andrew, and you know, I think he does the best that we can do. Obviously, it's not going to be, I think, the same volume and level. Because we're dealing oftentimes with older recordings, and it'll be, you know, more or less noticeable given the program. As to the commentary, you know, I try to really, you know, walk a fine line. I'm aware that these programs, you know, were recorded, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago. You know, and I won't go through everything and say, well, that by today's standards, you know, would be horrible or wrong, you know, on every little thing. I think that's, you know, really, you know, not something that people would appreciate. I'm not really here for some, you know, deconstruction of the program, certainly. But, you know, I think I can really, you know, comment on some things like how the plot went from, you know, my perspective. And, you know, I will also say that there were also, you know, radio critics of the times, you know, who, if you go back and read the reviews of someone like, you know, John Crosby, you know, he raised, you know, concerns, you know, various criticisms, some I agree with, some that, you know, I disagreed with. Certainly, you know, the critics, neither then or now, have stopped people from liking or enjoying whatever program they would like to hear or watch. And most of the series that we play are self-contained episodes. You know, you might have a two-parter like Once in a Blue Moon, but mostly it's self-contained stories. The characters and their relationships to each other doesn't change a whole lot. It's already established. You can miss an episode or three and be able to understand what's going on, just because of the way the series was structured. And certainly that had an element of popularity in both radio and early television. But some things I'll just, you know, with something I find is silly or weird or, you know, whatever, I'll, you know, mention it. Oftentimes providing that perspective of how does this actually hold up, today, in my opinion. Certainly different people have, you know, different opinions on the episodes, but I just try to, you know, mainly have fun and comment on, you know, some things that I find unusual or where I think the story could have gone better, you know, I don't expect something like, oh, you know, you should have done some, you know, major innovative sort of style of plotting that, you know, was just invented in the mid-2000s. But I can often think of other series, you know, when I do complain about an issue with a program during the same era that actually did things better. But thanks so much for the comment. Another one from the Canada podcast store. I really enjoy Mr. Graham's podcast. He curates the collection with passion and enthusiasm. It is one of my favorites. And then also have this one from a listener in Australia. I listen every night. Really enjoy how simple life was. Thanks. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your comments and for you taking the time to review the podcast over on iTunes. I want to go ahead and thank the Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to thank Jacqueline so much for her support. Jacqueline's been one of our Patreon supporters since March, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Jacqueline. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.